Okay. Right, should we begin? So, it's Sedra Chayasara, Pashat Chayasara, and we are going to be exploring a discourse said in 1985, which is 5746, beginning with the words, Va'Avraham Zaken Babi Yamim. Avraham was old, coming on in days. So let's just have a look at the verse, which is Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. Va'Avraham zaken babi yamim. Avraham was old, getting on in days. Va'Hashem beirach et Avraham bakol. And God blessed Abraham with everything. And then Abraham said to his servant, the elder of his house, Amoshel b'chol ha-shelo, who was ruling over everything that was his, well, what he instructs his servant, who was named Eliezer, that he should go and find a wife for his son Isaac. So this verse telling us that he's old is an introduction to the whole story of Eliezer going to find a wife for Isaac, who in fact is Rivka. And he brings her back. The first part of the Sedra is about burying Sarah, who had passed away at the age of 127, and then it says Abraham was old, and he realizes that his son, his precious son Isaac, is unmarried. He has to find a wife for him, and so he sends his servant to look for her. But the discourse focuses just on this single concept of Avraham being old, and the theme of the discourse, I would say, is age, or even old age, which it presents in rather an interesting very positive way. So, in order for us to get into the mood of the discourse, there is the Maima Nigun, the melody of the Maima. Ho ya ya yom ba yom. Avraham zaken bab yamim, and Avraham was old, getting on in days. Maybe v'zek vod kedushas admor marashab, and the quotes about this, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Reb Shalom Dovber, who passed away in 1920, but whose birthday was on the 20th of Cheshvan, which was last Shabbat. So miss out the brackets. B'ma'amaro al pasuk zeh, in his discourse on this verse, and it here gives the date when he said it. Shabbat Pashat Chayesara, Taf Reish Nun Dalet. That's 1893. So that's when he gave a talk. Reb Shalom Dovber gave a talk about this. Mash Amru Razal, what the sages said, B'Gemara, in the Talmud, U'B'Midrash, and in the Midrash. The Ad Avraham lo haya zikna, till Abraham there wasn't old age. Ata Avraham, ata here is the Aramaic word meaning Avraham came, ubay rachmi, and he asked mercy from God, vahava zikna, and age became a new development. So in other words, there's this idea among the sages that aging was not built into the world. People died when they got old, but they didn't look old. So a person of 100 might not look that different to a person of 70 or 40 or 30. There's some rather complicated Hasidic story which describes a man who's visiting somewhere, and he sees this old man, and a young man is with him, and suddenly the young man gives a slap in the face to the old man, and he thinks, what a terrible thing, I'm going to get involved with this, I'm not going to let this pass. He says, what do you think you're doing, how dare you hit that old man? So the young man says to him, don't tell me what to do, that's my son, and if I want to give him a smack, I'll give him a smack. And it turns out that the young man is actually much older, but he just looks young. So his son is already an elderly gentleman. Of course, we could say that even if he is his father, he still shouldn't hit him. but that would be another level of another level of development. Rabbi Lou, my colleague, told me about this letter from the Rebbe to an educator. Had asked whether it was permitted to punish corporally the older students in the school. And the Rebbe said, out of the question. And if you ask my opinion, the same for the younger students as well. That was in 1953 or something. That was not the mood of the time. although...
It was amazing the advance for the time.
Yeah.
There's a video they showed
with Rabbi Lou about hitting children.
Yeah,
yes.
Did you see that one?
Yes. Yeah.
It's quite interesting.
Yeah. Every child is a child of God. You're not allowed to hit someone else's child anyway. And how can you possibly hit a child belonging to God? That was about a father hitting his own children.
Yeah.
Not to hit his own children. Yeah. So there we have this idea that until Abraham there wasn't old age. Or maybe, in other words, people grew older, but they didn't look old. And in this discourse of 1893 of the Rebbe Rashab, it quotes the question that is asked the Mahasha, Reb Shmuel Edels. He was called that, Edel was his mother's name, and she was a wealthy businesswoman, and she supported the yeshiva and presumably his salary as well. And he was a great scholar, and he wrote a commentary on the entire Talmud, a very lengthy and detailed commentary, which has got two parts to it. One part is a discussion of the halachic part of the Talmud, and the extremely complex analysis, and the other is a discussion of the agadic part of the Talmud, the stories in the Talmud. And each story that is brought, he sort of discusses it and analyzes it in a very interesting way. And the discussion of the stories is in a slightly smaller font at the back of the Talmud, so that you can more easily find it, and it's a good way of seeing at a glance what's the sort of proportion of halachic discussion or agadic in that part of the Talmud. Just by looking at his commentary. Anyway, he brings a question on this, as does another commentator, the Yafei Torah. Shaharik Siv Lifneze, it's written before this, Vavram Basara Zakenim Baim Bayamim. It said much earlier on, Aram and Sarah were old, coming on in days. So Mahaya Chidush Akshav Bavakashet Avram. What was the new thing now that it says that Abram was asking something about old age? And the answer which is given by them, by the Masha and the other commentator, is quoted by the Rebbe Rashab, miss out the brackets. The content of Abraham's question request of God was shehazikna tiyeh nikeret yoter, old age should be more visible. In other words, in the earlier verse, when it says they were old, getting on in days, that was a feature of life, that people were getting old, but it wasn't obvious that people were getting old. And he was asking that it should be. Delifnei Avraham, because before Avraham, hina avsha haya inyan hazikna, even though the concept of old age existed, mikol makom lo haya nika hefresh bein tzair lezaken, you couldn't see the difference between a young man and an old man. Ubikesh Avraham, and Avraham asked, shetia hazikna nikeret, that old age should be recognizable, kilishon midrash, as the midrash puts it, amar lefanav, he said to God, ribon haolamim, master of the universe, adam uvno nichnasin lemakom, a man and his son go into some place, ve'ein adam yodeh lemi mechabed, no one knows who they should honor. He is presenting the idea of looking old as looking honorific, that the person who's older, who's got the white beard, he's the one that people will honor. Of course, in our epoch, our ageist epoch, it might be the other way around. but that was the way that he thought of it. Ubifratim klos panehim domeh, especially if their faces are actually similar to each other. Kedeit b'gemara, as we learn in the Talmud Sham, legabe Avraham b'Yitzchak atzmam, about Abraham and Isaac themselves. Isaac's face looked similar to that of Abraham. Kumosha Katuv, as it says in next week's Sedra, miss out the bracket, Ve'ele toldot Yitzchak, these are the generations of Yitzchak ben Avraham, the son of Abraham. Avraham olidet Yitzchak, Abraham gave birth to Yitzchak. As Rashi says, Shahakadosh Baruch Hu tzak lastepanav shel Yitzchak domeh l'Avraham. Why does it say Abraham gave birth to Yitzchak? Because in fact they looked the same. Ve'idu akol, and so everyone was able to tell, Shavraham olidet Yitzchak, that Abraham gave birth to Yitzchak. Because you see, there was Abraham and Sarah, then there had been this incident of being Sarah being in the house of Avimelech, so someone might have said, oh, you know what, it's Avimelech's child. But in fact, the child looked so much like Avraham, it was very obviously Abraham's child. And this is the new thing about this request, Almash, that Abraham makes later on in the Sedra, a now verse. Almash Katuv, Vavraham Sarah's Kenim Baim Biyamim, what it says earlier, that Abraham and Sarah were old. The Hatam Lohayanika Bolet Bahem Inyan Azikra. And that earlier passage, they didn't look old, which in fact figures with the way in which Sarah, even though she was an old lady of 90, was taken away to Avimelech. Avimelech thought she was very beautiful and wanted, so in other words, she didn't, you could have people who are very 90 years old who are very beautiful today. He saw her as a young woman, suitable for his advances. Masha'enkein, not to say that old women are also not suitable for advances. Masha'enkein al yedei bakeshet Avraham, but through the request of Avraham, nifal shinui bolet b'fanim shel zkenim, there became a change, an obvious change in the face of elderly people. Hainu hein shinui bo'or hapanim, whether it's a difference about the skin of the face, al yedei hakmatim, through wrinkles, in Yiddish knaitchen, shebo'or hapanim, in the flesh, in the skin of the face. V'inyin zehu gam basara, and such a thing is also by Sarah, by women. Al derech masha katuv, similar to what might be understood from acharei vloti haitali edna, after my fading, I should have a feeling of pleasure. This intrigues me, because she said this verse earlier on in the Sedra. where before the birth of Isaac, and so we're saying there that there isn't so much the concept of old age, visible old age. So you might say that although then there was a little bit of wrinkles, later on there was more. Vehein hashinui b'sarot shebarosh. Now this is more the focus of the discourse. The difference of the hair on the head for both men and women, ubezaken etzel anashim, and for the beard as regards men. The amshesarot hazaken, even though the hairs of the beard, yeshnam kva b'tzayil yamim, they are there already in a young man. Kahalacha, as the halacha states, shebenet eschim shana mitmale sar zakan. It's like a kind of a principle brought in halacha. At the age of 20, a person already has more or less a full beard. Mikol makom, nonetheless, hachidush al yedei hazikna, the new concept brought by old age. It's interesting. Old age brings a new concept. Hu betseva hasarot is in the color of the hair. Shesar zakan nase lavan, that the hair of the beard, or for that matter of the head, becomes white. Midrash, as we learn in the Midrash, Shama HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaAvraham, the Holy One, blessed be He, said to Abraham, Bo levush levushi, levush levushi, come and wear my garments. VaAvraham Zakein Babi Yamim, Abraham was old, coming on in days. So what does it mean, wear my garment? Dichtiv, as it's written, a verse in Daniel, in Daniel, Atik Yomin Yativ, the Ancient of Days was sitting. It's like a vision of the divine. The Ancient of Days was sitting. Luvushei Ketalag Chiver, his garment was like white snow. And the hair of his head like a white, a pure fleece, right? Fleecy hair. Now, this looks like a very anthropomorphic passage in the book of Daniel. But nonetheless, the Kabbalists, of course, use this. They speak about all different dimensions of what this means in sort of esoteric spiritual terms, not in physical terms, God forbid. But here we have the idea of a kind of a divine whiteness of hair in some sense. Hair itself has a profound mystical meaning, because hair is very interesting. Hair emerges from the skull so close to the brain, and yet it's a part of the body that if you cut it, you don't feel it. Nonetheless, it's understood as having a certain spiritual energy in it, and hence there's so many different religious concepts about hair, woman covering, a married woman covering hair.
Also, not cutting boys' hair before they're three.
That's right, yes, yes. So it's got a whole... what's interesting is the very widespread concepts about women's hair, and
not just in Judaism, you mean?
And
hair generally, actually, not just in Judaism.
Yes, having like having Sikhs, tremendous significance.
Like Sikhs and Rastafarians
So there's certainly something magnetic about hair in human consciousness. So here we have the idea that in this rather anthropomorphic depiction of the divine, which is there in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 9, we have that idea of the divine seen in the form of ancients, ancientness, with white, fleecy hair. V'hainu inyan libuna sarot Avraham. And that is the whiteness of the hair of Abraham, or of any old person. U'kashem shehu binyan libuna sarot. And just as it is with the whiteness, the whitening of the hair, shezen itchadesh binyan v'Avraham zaken, and that was the new thing when it says that Abraham became old, you see, it doesn't say in the verse that Abraham's hair turned white. But we now understand that when the Midrash says that Abraham asked God to create the concept of old age, that meant that Abraham's hair turned white. It meant that the idea of the hoary head of age suddenly came into being. So tzarich lomar gam chidush gam b'inyan ba b'yamin kedul kaman. There's also something new about the whole idea of coming on in days, which will be explained later. However, first let's just consider this whiteness of hair. Umavai ba maimasham. It explains there in that discourse. Klalut inyan de libuna tzarot, the general concept of hair going white. Shuhu hamshachat bechinat yud gimel midat harachamim. It is a flow from the 13 attributes of mercy. And the 13 attributes of mercy are hitkalut yud gimel tikune dikna. They are a revelation of the 13 aspects of the beard. Now, this is a Kabbalistic concept. Let's try to understand it. We have the 10 Sfirot, right? So at the bottom is Malchut, and then higher, and finally we have wisdom at the top of the Sfirot. So we have wisdom, understanding, knowledge, kindness, severity, victory, and so on. Kindness, severity, mercy, splendor. There is mercy mentioned at this lower level, but we are going to be talking about a higher level of mercy. And then there's victory, submission, dedication, kingship. So those are the sfirot, sort of the lower level of the sfirot. 3 cerebral sfirot, and then 7, as it were, emotional sphere. Now, beyond this, at a higher level, is what is called Keter. Keter, crown, which is interpreted in various ways. And one of the aspects of this realm of Keter, of crown, and then the next stage, as it were, is Ein Sof, is the infinite. So there is Keter, or crown, as a kind of an intermediary between the infinite and this down-chaining revelation of the divine, which ultimately leads to the creation of the world. Now, at the level of Keter, the level of the crown, we have what is called the 13 attributes of mercy. Now, the 13 attributes of mercy are very exalted. They are the prayer that God revealed to Moses when Moses said to God, please reveal to me your ways. And God said, man cannot see me and live. However, I will put you in a crevice of the rock and you will see my back. And then Moses was there and he heard Hashem say, Hashem, Hashem, Keil, Rachum, Machanan, which is a prayer with 13 terms for God, which are considered the 13 attributes of mercy. And it's a very exalted aspect of godliness. And it goes beyond all the other dimensions of the Sfirot. And in the Sfirot, you see there's kindness and there's severity. In other words, there's positive and negative. And the person might have sinned as regards that aspect of the Sfirot, but by ascending to the higher dimension. See here, I'm just filling in these different victories, submission, dedication. So by ascending to a higher level of the Sfirot, beyond the difference between kindness and severity, beyond, in a sense, beyond good and bad, that's where mercy comes in such a way that it completely puts right anything which is wrong in the life or the soul of the individual. Now, that level of the 13 attributes of mercy is described as the beard, as hinted at in the beard. And the spiritual quality of the beard is that it represents these 13 attributes of mercy. And so somehow or other there is a way of counting on the beard different points, and there are altogether 13. I'm not quite sure how you do the counting, but it's there are ways in which you can count points on the face and the part where the beard is, that there are 13 points, and that's the 13 attributes of mercy. From here comes the Hasidic custom to have a beard, simply because the beard expresses the attribute of mercy in such an exalted way. So this flow, which comes from this exalted level, of which it says, Levoshei Ketalak Chiver, the garment of God at that level is like white as snow, and Vasar Reshei, in the hair of his head, so to speak, Ka'amanoka, like pure wool, pure fleece, Hainu Hamshacha Shel Amayim Mishteide Hishtalshulot. That means it's a drawing down of a flow which is higher than the level of the downchaining of the worlds. V'zeh ha'yachidush shenifal al yedei Avraham. That is the new thing that Avraham achieved, as explained at length there. So there we have the idea of reaching to this exalted level, and as a result of this, the hair goes white. So now it's a fascinating thing, the hair going white. It's understood that women may conceal this, may dye their hair, may wear a wig, which also hides that the whiteness of hair. However, for a man to dye his hair, his white hair, would be considered imitating a feminine activity. And men are supposed to conduct themselves in a male way, so therefore men are not supposed to dye their hair. So here the discourse is presenting a positive way of seeing this white hair, that it is drawing from the 13 attributes of mercy beyond. So now that is the idea of the hair and the sort of the concept of age as regards aging, the idea of aging as regards hair going white. Omlam, however, adayin tzarich lavin beinyan babiyamim, we still have to understand the idea coming on in days. What does that mean? Maui inyan v'achidush v'davar zeh. What's special about this? Shekvar ne'emar lifnei zeh. It already says earlier in the Torah, v'avram v'sara baim biyamim. Abram and Sarah were coming on in days. U'babiyamim ein hakavana b'zeh. Now, coming on in days does not mean shekvar higia l'sof yamav. It doesn't mean that he's come to the end of his days, because the pasuk Avram and Sarah baim yamim, that was said a long time before the end of Abraham's life, and even here in our pasuk, it's not the end of Avram's life. It's saying he's coming on in days. He's actually at the time when Avraham, this pasuk is said at the time of the shidduch of Yitzhak and Rivka, and then Yitzhak was 40 years old, and the idea that Abraham and Sarah were old, that was said before the birth of Yitzhak, and so we've got in both contexts the idea of coming on in days. So what does this coming on in days mean? This idea, and how does it relate to the age of Abraham? If we go over the page, we must say that it somehow relates to the idea of the whitening of hair. And what exactly is that? Now, the next page it presents the following idea. Vayinyan hu, the subject is as follows. The perush babiyamim hu, the meaning of the phrase coming on in days, means shekol yamav hayu shlemin, all his days were whole. The Yomini Lain, they were exalted days. The Lo Chascha Yomachad Chas V'Shalom, and not one day was missing, God forbid, as the Zohar puts it. And that's what it means, coming on in days. Shabaim Kol Yamav, he came with all his days. So, in other words, he's coming with his days. His days are part of him. They are real days. They are every day in his life, of his previous years of life, every single day has got meaning, has got content to it. V'zeh tochen b'yamim, and that's what it means, coming on in days, that the totality of his life until then were whole days filled with service of God. And in this itself there are two approaches. Shetia avodah ba'ofen deba b'yamim v'hede achisaron. It could either be that the days are complete, they don't have any lack, and nonetheless they are limited. They are sufficient. Omnom lemaila mizeh, but on a higher level, is the avodah shelemaila mimedida v'hagvala, is the service which is beyond limitations. Atam mechuyav lo'oshro. He's giving it, relating it to the laws about charity. There are two types of charity. One kind of charity is given to a poor man, and you give the poor man as much as he needs, what he needs to live. But then you have another kind of charity, to a rich man. The rich man who has fallen on hard times. And for the rich man, if you only give him enough that he's got clothing and food, he still feels terribly bad. Because he used to have a servant, he used to have this, he used to have that. So there is the idea in the Talmud that you should try to be able to support the person in the manner in which he was accustomed, in order to make him feel that he shouldn't feel bereft. So, without going into the different issues that might raise, but here this is being applied here in terms of spiritual beneficence coming to a person. Then on the one hand there's a kind of a minimal level where the person has everything. He's Baba Yamim, he's coming on in days, his days are complete, and that means they are sufficient. But there is a higher level, that they're more than sufficient. They are rich. The days are tremendously rich. And why are they rich? Because the service of this second individual, whose days are rich, it's a different kind of service of the divine. Last week we talked about different dimensions of service of the divine. There's the ordinary level of sort of comfortable observance of Torah, mitzvot, and then there's a deeper level with more demand, more dedication. And so here the idea is that when there is more of a demand, more dedication, more self-demand, then comes a divine response on a much grander way. And so that is the higher level of coming on in days. And so that's what, so when it says, the earlier verse, that Abram and Sarah were coming on in days, that's before Isaac was born. So there we have the concept that the coming on in days means they were full days, but not beyond limitations. Whereas now, 40 years later, when it says that Abraham is coming on in days, this is a wholeness of his service, of something which is beyond limitations, beyond measure. And so that's the idea. Now, it's with the second kind of old age, with this second kind of coming on in days, that there's really the whitening of the hair. Because this is talking about the whitening of the beard. And when it says beard, it doesn't just mean the beard of the human being. It means the beard in some kind of image, some kind of, albeit anthropomorphic image, but really it's a Kabbalistic abstraction of the beard, the 13 attributes of mercy of the divine. And so that's the fullness and the wholeness of Abraham's service, is that he comes to this exalted relationship with God, so that there is a flow from these 13 attributes of mercy, which are beyond all limitation. You see, this lower level of downchaining of worlds, that's, as it were, this is limited in some way. Even though it's exalted and it's spiritual and it's holy, but nonetheless, it is it's limited. And the higher level is something absolutely beyond limitation, where it's some variety. It's another order of infinity. It's another order of infinity, completely beyond the limitation of this lower level. So by reaching that, that's how we get the image of the whiteness of the hair, and also the second kind of coming on in days. One level of coming on in days is that they are complete, and the other level of coming on in days is they're absolutely rich. They are tremendously, tremendously profound, reaching exalted spiritual levels. Coming from a service which is one which is beyond limitations. Okay? So that's the basic idea as a kind of a commentary on a few verses in the Torah about Abraham and Abraham and Sarah. However, now turning to ourselves, V'hinei ha-Torah nitzchit, the Torah is eternal. V'chol ha-inyanim sheba, and all the teachings in the Torah, heim hora'ot nitzchiyot, they are eternal instructions. L'chol echad v'achat mi'Yisrael, to every single Jewish man and woman. U'mizeh muvan, and from this it's understood, it's also a teaching to others who are not Jewish people as well. There's these seven Noachad laws also included in the Torah. The Torah has a universal dimension, and many of its spiritual teachings also relate to every human being. U'mizeh muvan, and from this we can understood, she'inyan zeh, that this particular topic is itself hora'ah b'avodat kol echad v'achat Yisrael, is a instruction in the service of every individual Jew. U'befrat she'inyan zeh kai b'Avraham Avinu, especially since this is talking about Abraham our father, of whom the sages said ein korin avod ele l'shlosha, there are only three figures who are called patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it explains in many places that the avodah of every single one of the tribes relates particularly to that tribe. And in general, the Jewish people are divided in two halves, Yissachar and Zvulun. Yissachar are the scholars, and Zvulun are the ones who go out and do business in ships, as it's described, and they are able to sustain Yissachar so that they are able to do the Talmudic study and write the books. However, everyone is expected to study themselves as well. But this is called Marei Torah, Masters of Torah, and Marei Uvdin Tavin, and Masters of Good Deeds. Whereas, so that's, in other words, a person is either in this group or in that group. Whereas in the case of the service of the Avot, of the patriarchs, that is something that relates to every Indian individual Jew. So therefore, we can understand that when it tells us in the Torah something about Abraham, it relates to everyone. So if we learn about Yehuda or Levi or something like that, one of the tribes, we might say, well, that doesn't apply to me, I'm in another group. Whereas if it's telling us about Abraham, it's something which applies to everyone. So, especially, we see that Abraham relates to each of us, because when we pray every day, we say at the beginning of the Amidah prayer, in the first blessing, it's the blessing which concerns the patriarchs. And we end the blessing, Magen Avraham, blessed are you, O God, shield of Abraham. So that's the way in which we seal, we end that particular blessing. And we say this blessing three times a day, and we say it every weekday and every Shabbat and every Yom Tov. It's four times that we say it on Shabbat and the festival, and five times in Yom Kippur. So all the time we are mentioning this idea of God, the shield of Abraham for us. And so this is because Abraham includes everything. Because in addition to the idea that these three tefillot, these three prayers, correspond. Shachrit, it corresponds to Abraham, and Mincha is to Isaac, and Maariv, the evening prayer, corresponds to Jacob. More than that, there is the spiritual dimension of the three patriarchs. Love is the service of Abraham, fear is the service of Isaac, and Rachamim, mercy, is the service of Jacob. And that's something which applies in our service every single day, as explained else in many places, that the qualities, the emotions of holiness are integrated one with the other. So that means at every step we have the chesed, the kindness of Abraham. It's there at every step. And even more, as we see, speaking of the counting of the Omer, where we have the seven midot, and we have love, fear, and mercy, and the idea that love is something which relates to every single one of those emotions. So there we have the idea. The idea of Abraham being old and coming on in days in our own individual service. Just as it was for Abraham, the idea of coming on in days. Yomim shleimin, whole days. And then we have a further level of Abraham being old, which means the idea of the 13 attributes of the beard, the 13 attributes of mercy, which is a more exalted service beyond limitations. And so that then has to be the way that we serve God ourselves, that first of all there is a quest for a kind of wholeness, and then we go beyond wholeness, we go to a seeking, a quest which is beyond limitations, and that's where we come to the point of the whiteness of hair, age, the connection with something which is beyond limitations, to the 13 attributes of mercy, to a very exalted spiritual dimension. And of course, the image is of a person getting old during his life. But in fact, at any point in a person's life, there is this kind of quest. And so the word zaken in Hebrew is understood as zekana chachma. This person has acquired wisdom. So therefore, one could be a young person and nonetheless old in these terms. And for that matter, vice versa, one could be an old person and never having achieved this. So it's not measured by the passport. As the Rebbe would say, age is not measured by the passport. And although he sometimes meant this in a different way, that just because the passport says you're 80 years old doesn't mean you're old. So you can still be young. You know, that's another. You see, there's a complementary stream. That everything is young, you know, and the thing is to be young. In this discourse, the thing is to be old. So here we are, you know, this is the discourse you would teach in the old age home. But there are other discourses, which speak about youth and the whole concept of youth and eternal youth and youthfulness. Okay. So now we can add to this, because in the discourse of the Rav Rashav, which was the sages say in Masechet Avot, thank you. The sages say in Ethics of the Fathers, Ben Tishim Lasuach, when a person is 90. Now then we have this word Lasuach, and it's rather intriguing what Lasuach means. And the footnote says it means from 90 onwards, Lasuach. Now, one way of understanding Lasuach, I think a very simplistic way of translating it, is that it means to be bowed. And there may be some commentator which puts it in that way. But a more spiritual explanation is that the word Lasuach comes from the same word as Sicha, which is like talking. And one commentator says that the old person, when he talks, his words are heard. You know, people listen to what he said, hopefully. Depends which old age. So the idea, but there is another interpretation of the word sicha, that it means prayer. And a number of the commentators of Pirkei Avot, that's how they explain it. That, but it says the man at the age of 90. Now you were mentioning this before, I think, that in Pirkei Avot it goes through the stages of a person's life. At 40 he has understanding, at 50 he can give counsel, and so on. And so at 90 he is at this level of lasuach, which many of the commentators say mean praying. He's come to a spiritual level of prayer, and in fact we see later at the end of this parsha, at the end of this sedra, Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh, Isaac went out to pray in the field. As the sages say, this word lasuach, sicha, means prayer, and so that's what it means. At the age of 90, a person can hopefully devote more time and more depth to their prayer, and their prayer can be an incredible spiritual experience. Hopefully, that you know, they do not have the kind of suffering, God forbid, which would make it difficult to do that, or might make it difficult to do that. But that they are able to feel the sense of contact with the divine through the experience of prayer. Last Friday night, I was giving a talk in an old age home, not about this discourse, because this is for this week's center, and I was talking about last week's center. But what I did talk about was the nature of prayer, and just the letters of the alphabet, how, as the Baal Shem Tov said, that the letters of the alphabet have got a spiritual radiance within them. There are worlds, like spiritual worlds, souls, and godliness in each letter of the prayers. And then the letters join together and form a word, and the word is ascending to a higher level. And you can be conscious of this, and you can allow your own soul to be joined with those radiant letters of prayer which are ascending. And in fact, it's not only prayer, it also applies to Torah study. Because then at the age of 90, hopefully the person has a bit more time, that he or she can sit and study Torah. And as it says in Tehillim, in Psalm 119, which you have the letters of the alphabet eight times over, eight times each verse, letter by letter. How much I love your Torah, the whole day it is my sicha. So we see again the word sicha. Sicha was used for Isaac as prayer, and here we see sicha as a Torah study. We can understand the meaning in this. The matchil mitishim shina, beginning with 90 years old, matchila shleimut miyuchedet, there begins a remarkable, an exceptional wholeness, belimud haTorah, in terms of learning Torah, and avodat haTfilah, and the service of prayer. 90 is just the beginning for a new stage of real intimacy with the divine through prayer and Torah study. As the sages said, similar to what the sages said, till the age of 40, a man cannot understand his teacher. That's an interesting idea. Till the age of 40, till 40 years have gone by, one doesn't really understand one's teacher. That means that there begins, at the age of 40, there begins a new stage of understanding of Torah after the age of 40. Or after 40 years of study. And similar, there begins a new wholeness in understanding of Torah after 90. Pushing ahead, I mean, this was said in 1985, but so clearly cognizant of our aging generation, where more and more people are in the senior age bracket, a rising percentile of the population. Now this doesn't mean It's obvious that this doesn't mean that when a person's 90, he's not able to ascend any higher. It means that when he's 90, there is an additional ascent and this additional power in this. And in this, he has to go higher, more and more and more in his study of Torah, and so on. The same way as we said about the age of 40. Well, it says that when you get to the age of 40, you now understand in a better way. It doesn't mean you stop at that point. It means that from that point on, you go higher and higher. So exactly the same too with the age of 90. That at the age of 90, one just goes, one reaches a new stage, and from that new stage, one goes higher and higher. Now there's a further point. Dehine amru Razal, the sages tell us in the Talmud, Shahat Talmidim Koyim Banim. Disciples, it's actually in the Sifri and in Rashi, in the Torah. The sages tell us that disciples are called one's children, and the teacher is called the father. And we learn in the Talmud, Yafe koach haben mikoach ha'av. The power of the son is greater than the power of the father. In other words, the power of the disciple is greater than the power of the teacher. The
power of learning.
Well, in general, the power. It's an interesting idea. Because we often think in terms of yiridat ha'dorot, of the generations getting lower and lower. But here, it's the opposite way round. The son has more power. Peirush, that means that even though everything the son has comes from the father, and even the idea that the power of the son is greater than that of the father, that also comes from the father. Everything the son has comes from the father. So goes on. Nonetheless, there are in the father certain things which are hidden. Yeshnam ba'av inyanim na'alamim. There are things in the father which are hidden, which are not even revealed to him. They are concealed for the father himself. They only become revealed with the son, with the disciple, whether it's teacher and disciple or father and son. And then and so you have it with father and son, and also with students and teacher, that there is a power in the student to say new things in halacha which their teacher, the rabbi, didn't teach them. He didn't teach them this new thing, but they were able to go further. That means it's not that they weren't in the father, they were there in the father, but they were completely concealed. And so there we have the concept that those things which have been transmitted to the disciple, they are then able to be revealed in a way they were never revealed to the teacher before. From all this we understand that when we talk about Ben Tishin Lesuach, that at the age of 90 one speaks, one thinks, one prays, one studies Torah, and then begins a new dimension of wholeness in one's way of study of Torah and so on. And and this can also be understood from this discourse by understanding the different stages for Abraham and Sarah, going higher and higher until one comes to that more exalted level which goes beyond limitations. V'yehi ratzon, may it be the will of God, says the Rebbe, sheyekuyim banu, that it should be fulfilled in us. What it says at the end of the verse, Vahashem berachat Avram bakol. God blessed Abraham in everything. The birchat bakol. Now this blessing of everything, there are a number of different interpretations over the word bakol. One way is to say that the word kol means a sum. Bakol, you see, kol is, base is 2, kof is 20, lamed is 30. So that's 52. Now ben is also 52. So one way, because base is 2 and nun is 50. So one way of understanding the word bakol, it's a hint to a son. Another way the Midrash puts it, it's a hint to a daughter. And here there's another hint. Bakol more al gilui me'ein olam haba. Bakol means a revelation of something like the world to come. As we learn in the Talmud, there are three people that God let them taste in this world, a taste of the world to come. And these are they, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. How do we know? Because of the word Bakol. Kol. Avraham, it was written by him, the word Bakol, in this verse, with everything. Yitzhak, it's written about him, Mikol. Jacob, it's written about him, Kol. Each one, there's a verse where the word Kol, all, is used for him. And those three concepts, they apply to every single individual man and woman in the Jewish people. Shahari omrim bebirchat hamazon b'chol yom, because we say in the grace after meals every single day, Harachamon, you should bless us as you blessed our ancestors Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then we say these three words, Bakol. Bakol, Mikol, Kol. Yes, it's part of the benching. It's part of the grace after meals. We say these three words, Bakol, Mikol, and Kol, which refers to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the idea of this fullness being granted to them, with the way in which this fullness is being interpreted here, according to the Talmud, that it means the world to come. And in such a way that you eat and you drink and you eat and you're satisfied and you bless Hashem, your God. And this is achieved through the fact, how is it achieved that at every step in a person's life and in a person's day, they eat and drink and they bless God, and there is some kind of deep spiritual revelation? It's through the fact that each person reveals the quality of Raham which is within him or her. In the same way that we learn in Tanya, for example, and in other places, that inside every single individual there is a Moshe, there's a Moses inside every individual. Well, in the same way, says the Rebbe, there's an Abraham inside every individual. And it becomes that you see your own world to come in the days of your own life. And that these are the three that God gave them to taste their world to come with a blessing in the simple sense of the word, that Hashem blesses every individual with everything, Bakol, literally, with everything, in Gashmias, in material things, Uberuchnias, and in spiritual things, Uberuchnias, Ubergashmias, and with spiritual and material things together, B'toiv Hanireh V'Haniglah, in a revealed way, which is good. So that is this very beautiful teaching about old age and the way in that a person, through this power of old age, the person goes ever to higher levels. And at the same time, I think it's true to say that these qualities of old age are being taught as applying to every individual. So at the age of 15, 16, you could also strive for this Zekana Chachma, this one has acquired wisdom, which is the word Zaken, old, to acquire that deeper dimension of spirituality, knowledge, dedication to God, serving God in a way which goes beyond limitations, and that through that we reach the 13 attributes of mercy with the quality of the fleecy, the whiteness, which that upper loven ha'elyon, that upper whiteness, which eventually becomes visible in the white hair sometimes of young people, and especially of older ones. So that is the Rebbe's contribution to age.
What about the concept of age in a woman? Because I get the impression that men tend to go white more rather than the woman going white. Am I mistaken?
That's because you are at the moment living in a Hasidic community where no women go white at all, because they're all wearing a lovely shaitel, which expresses the
Auburn. And even the women who aren't Orthodox, so will they dye their hair?
Yes, that's right.
But a man is expected to go white, obviously, before a woman.
Well, not necessarily. He goes white, but a man is supposed to not dye his hair. So a man is expected to admit to having white hair. Women, it's understood, may not admit to having white hair. But nonetheless, the same concept applies, that the whiteness of hair, the actual hair being white, is an expression of something very exalted and very spiritual.
The
idea of being 90 and of having more time for prayer and more time for Torah, that would apply equally to a man or a woman.
I was just sort of trying to touch on the equality aspect between man and woman, because I know this is always a controversial subject for some people, but it's like you mentioned Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob being the male patriarchs that have spiritual energies that every Jew or Jewess can draw upon.
What about the wife?
But what exactly? What about the female patriarch? Say, for example, Deborah or whoever. Because each individual obviously has male and female qualities within them at a spiritual level, whatever.
Well, I would say that Ishto Kegufo, his wife is like himself. And so when we're speaking about Abraham, it's really Abraham and Sarah, or Isaac and Rebecca.
And some communities, they say that. They say, may you be like Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and...
Well, we in I think in so all much. Communities, when a person gives a blessing, when one gives a blessing to a woman, one says, Yisimech Elokim Sarah Rivka Rachel and Leah. May God make you like Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. You know, so there is that direct sense of blessing. And to a man, one actually doesn't mention Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. One says, Yisimcha lekim ke Ephraim b'chim Menashe. May God make you like Ephraim and Menashe, because there's a verse that the Jewish people will be blessed saying, make you like Ephraim and Menashe, who are the two sons of Joseph. So there's that...
taken from the blessing of Yaakov giving...
Yeah, and putting Ephraim before Menashe. So in that sense, and there's also the use of names. The fact of giving a name, you know, like you mentioned Devorah. Now, Devorah is in the book of Judges, and she's a judge herself, a shofet, and a spiritual person, and there are many, you know, there's the stories in the Tanakh itself, and there are stories in the Talmud. But it's a very common Jewish name, and when a person gives a girl the name Devorah, it means that they want, or Debbie, let's say, you know, they are in some, perhaps unconsciously, but they're saying those spiritual qualities that the original Devorah had should be passed on to this child. It's